T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Let's go. Let's play, fellas.
I'm ready to play.
It's time for our NFL schedule release special as we take a look at our Falcons game matchups for the upcoming season.
Now, here are your hosts, John Shirkery, Harry Douglas, and Hugh Douglas.
When you dial it up, we'll be ready to go.
92.9 The Game's NFL schedule release special is on.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
And welcome back in to Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, hanging out with you here on a Thursday evening, NFL schedule release Thursday, as we now officially have the Atlanta Falcons schedule in front of us. We know times, dates, opponents, order, everything that you could ask for. Hanging out with you here in this hour, it is John Shirkery, joined by my guy, Hugh Douglas. Hugh, what up? What's going on, brother?
What's going on, Chuck? How you doing today, man?
Man, I am great, and especially when I get to talk to you this late at night. I don't know what kind of Hugh Douglas I'm going to get, so I'm excited to talk to you this late.
You're going to get well-rested, yeah. Hugh Douglas. Took me a nice little nap today. I'm good to go.
Excellent. Hey, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game is helping you stay connected with past shows, interviews, and all the content that you need. For more info, go to radio.com/stay connected. Don't forget, download your radio.com app to listen to the radio station outside of your vehicle. Follow the station on social media. It is at 92.9 The Game. All your pertinent information is there. Keep up with us. Follow us on Twitter. Reach myself. It is at JMCH316. At JMCH316. He is at BigHugh53. Jarvis back in the building at Jarvis D90. So, Hugh, let me, for the listeners, run through the schedule quickly, and then I'm going to get your kind of 35,000-foot view. So, September 13th at 1 o'clock, it will be against the Seattle Seahawks at home. So the Falcons will start off at home, 1 o'clock, the 13th against Seattle. The following week, they'll go on the road at the Dallas Cowboys, September 27th, 1 p.m., home with the Chicago Bears. So 3 straight games at 1 o'clock. And then they will play on Monday Night Football, October 5th at 8:15 p.m. They will be in Green Bay to take on the Packers. October 11th will be another 1 o'clock game at home against the Carolina Panthers. October 18th, another 1 o'clock game at Minnesota taking on the Vikings. Of course, that opened up the season this past year. October 25th, another 1 o'clock start home with the Detroit Lions. October 29th, that Thursday, 8:20 start, they will be in Carolina to take on the Panthers. That, of course, will be Thursday Night Football. November 8th, 1 o'clock, they will be at home for the Broncos. This, of course, is the game that was supposed to be in London, but because of all the international games being canceled, they'll take on the Broncos at home November 8th. Then the bye week comes in week 10. So the Falcons will play 9 games, then have their bye, then the second part of the season, if you will, quote-unquote second part, I say. But November 22nd, 1 o'clock at the Saints. November 29th, 1 o'clock home with the Raiders. December 6th, 1 o'clock home with the Saints. December 13th at the San Diego Chargers for a 4:25 start. December 20th, 1 o'clock home with the Buccaneers. December 27th, 1 o'clock at the Chiefs, the Super Bowl champion Chiefs. And then finally, January 3rd, 1 p.m., they will end the season in Tampa Bay taking on the Buccaneers. Hugh Douglas, your thoughts, just generally speaking, as you looked at the schedule, what are your thoughts?
Man, that's a nice lineup. The first thing that jumped out to me, Chuck, was the first game of the season. That's going to be a pretty good test for the Atlanta Falcons. Seattle Seahawks opening up the season. You're looking at the second game of the season, Cowboys and Bears, and then the Packers. That's a nice start to the season. I think with that, it's going to give you a little insight of what the Falcons could potentially be this year.
You know, Hugh, we always hear about coaches talking about taking the season in quarters. You know, Mike Smith was famous for that, play one quarter at a time. You know, you look at that first quarter, playoff team in Seattle, obviously at the Packers on Monday Night Football. That's in Lambeau against one of the best teams in the NFC from last year. The Cowboys, your favorite team, think that they can be a playoff team as well, and obviously they anticipate being a playoff team. You know, the Bears, that's one of the best defenses in the NFL. I don't know if Nick Foles is good enough to get into the playoffs, but certainly that's four teams. That's not the Dolphins and the Lions and some
exactly.
of these, you know, Bengals.
Exactly.
Yeah, I mean, you've got four pretty good, you know, potentially all playoff teams that are in that group.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about. And you're looking at that and you're thinking you're going to get a good gauge on where the Falcons are going to be. And then, you know, you got the Carolina Panthers. You don't know what they're going to be as far as offensively is concerned. Then you got the Minnesota Vikings. Now, the Detroit Lions, that's one that doesn't, you know, they don't scare me, but you never know what you're going to get with Detroit, you know, being up there or them coming here. So, you know, that's something that could potentially be, you know, a game that could be a little bit surprising. But this schedule, the way that it's chopped up, it gives you a little bit of breathing. Now, what I do find intriguing is the fact that you only got a week in between the Saints games. You play them on the 22nd November, and then you turn right back around and you play them in December 6th. Like, that's you're talking about familiarity and playing a team back-to-back. That's kind of close. You know, when you got the Raiders sandwich in between there, I like the way the schedule shaped out. And then you look towards the back end of the schedule, you got the Bucs, the Chiefs, the Buccaneers. Boy. No, but the Bucks twice. That's going to be pretty interesting.
You know, Hugh, I think the thing that is interesting to me is that you'll have Carolina out of the way before you get to your bye week, and then you know those last seven game run. You know, four of those games are Saints Buccaneers. You know, we've seen in the past that the divisional schedule loaded up on the back end, but it's interesting how. You know, once they play the Panthers twice in the month of October, they'll play them twice in October, and they're done. You know, I mean, they didn't really spread out some of these divisional games. You know, it feels like all the divisional games get crammed into a short amount of time.
Yeah. I mean, but it's kind of felt like that before, especially towards the end of the year. I think that's because you want to make it a little bit more exciting. And I tell you what, the Buccaneers, the last game of the season, that could potentially – depend on, you know, that could potentially, you know, have who's going to be the NFC South champion or who's going to the playoff. That can have playoff implications.
Hugh, that first quarter of the season, and we'll get a little bit more into this as we get into the hour because I want to kind of really go through the first half with you here a little bit later. But when you look at that first quarter of the season, you know, what happens if the Falcons are 1-3 coming out of something like that?
We don't even want to think like that, Chuck. I mean, but we all know the
elephants. No, because we're going to be 3-1. Yeah, we're going to be 3-1. I'm sorry,
elephants
but we're going to be 3-1.
I mean, the elephants in the room. I mean, we don't want to think like that, though. But, you know, with everything that has happened, and if we get off to a slow start like we got off to last year, I think that there's going to be an uncomfortable situation to be in. No question about that. There's going to be a lot of things that if we got off to a 1-3 start that were discussed last year that kind of made it uncomfortable, they're going to rear their ugly head quickly. It's going to rear its ugly head quickly, and there's going to be a lot of angry Falcons fans. Let's just call it what it is. It's going to be a lot of angry Falcons fans.
You know, Hugh, I said this at the very beginning of the show. I do think it's a big deal that the Falcons get that home game back where, number one, is you're not traveling over to London. And, yeah, I understand both teams have to do it, but still, traveling over there and just dealing with all that, I do think it's a big deal to get the game in Mercedes-Benz. I also think it's a big deal, Hugh, the fact that you've got a team from out west that's got to come east. And, you know, historically, when those western teams have to come across to the East Coast and play at 1 o'clock, Those Eastern Coast teams tend to have an advantage in that.
Are you talking about with the time change and everything like that?
I mean, having the Broncos come west to east.
Yeah, yeah. All of that. I mean, yeah, that's a huge factor too. And I think that by having that game back, Chuck, I mean, it just being in your own bed and being in your own environment, that's a great feeling.
What do you think about the Week 10 bye? What do you think about a bye that comes as late as what it does?
You know, normally you would want it more towards the middle of the season, but hey, I think with the way that they practice now and everything, it really doesn't make a difference. That's still a good time to have the bye. You got like 9 games under your belt. It's like almost halfway through the season. That's still a good place to have your bye. You get a chance to, if you're a little bit banged up, you get a chance to rest your players up a little bit, and then you got to push, man, because let me tell you, the one thing that I hate it as a player is playing your division rival. Like, because that's a physical confrontation. And to have them so closely grouped together like that, you're going to need that. You're going to need that in the second half of the season. You're talking about looking at that Saints game. We know how those go. And then you got the Buccaneers. We know what they're going to be. You know, especially with Tom Brady, they're going to be juiced. Yeah. You're going to need that second half of the season. That's all hands on deck. Everybody needs to be healthy that can go. And you need to make that push. That's going to be the push part of the schedule right there, in my opinion.
What did you as a player, what did you like? Like, what was there a specific week that you liked to have the bye week? Did you have a preference or just anywhere at least more toward the middle of the season? What was your
preference? More towards the middle of the season, I was about to say. If we had, like, this is the worst thing that you could possibly have. If you had your bye week 3 weeks into the season, I thought that was the worst thing that you could possibly have because it takes you out of a – you're not even really in a rhythm yet. You're talking about because normally I say it takes at least a month to get acclimated, get up to speed or whatever as far as the speed of the game and just getting into a groove. Because, you know, unfortunately, the first month of the season is when a lot of stuff happens. You know, guys get hurt, God forbid, and things of that nature. But it's like – the game is so fast and it's so physical that's when a lot of injuries happen and things of that nature. You get past that first month of the season and you get into a groove, you got a great chance of making it through the whole season, basically functional. You know, you're going to be banged up and everything, but you can make it through basically functional. So if there was ever a time where you had the bye week early in the season, like 2 weeks in or 3 weeks in, never was a fan of one of those. Like 6 weeks, 7 weeks, like anything like that. If you can get it 8 weeks in, that's great, but anything after that or before that, it was cool. Not too cool. Not in the third week.
You know, I'm looking here, and I'm doing this very fast, so I apologize. I may have a little bit wrong. So it looks like the Saints will have their bye week at week 6. Hugh, it looks like the Saints will have their bye week will come in week 6. It looks like the Buccaneers, it will be week 13. When they have their bye week, because they're only going to have 4 games left after their bye. So, interesting, the two other teams in the division, the two obviously, you know, heavyweight teams in the division are going to have, differing bye weeks to it. Saints will get theirs really early, which that may be a good thing because the Falcons are going to play them later on in the year. So, to your point, you know, maybe there's some of that beat up factor because you got your bye out of the way so early. So maybe that's something. And then again, the Buccaneers don't have theirs until week 13. So read into it what you will, but that's kind of what I'm seeing right now.
Yeah, I'm kind of with you on that, Chuck. It's one of those things where, you know, everybody, as the year goes on, you change the way that you practice and do everything. But it also helps tremendously when you have that bye and guys can just get away and deprogram and not even think about football for a little while.
All right, when we come back, we're going to start taking a preview at the NFC South. We will take a look at the Falcons and their matchups against Tampa Bay, against Carolina, and against New Orleans. We'll start to break that all down next. It is the NFL Schedule Release Show. John Chuckery, Hugh Douglas, hanging out with you here from 8 to 9 o'clock tonight, Sports Radio 929 The Game and on the Radio.com app. Welcome back in, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, NFL Schedule Release Show. John Chuckery here, Hugh Douglas hanging out with you. We'll be together for this first hour. And then coming up at 9 o'clock, myself and Harry Douglas will take over from 9 to 10, and then from 10 to 11, we'll get back to the number one rated John Chuckery Show. Oh, sorry, Hugh, threw that little nugget.
Oh, that don't bother me. I'm glad. It's I'm happy. I'm happy that you are, because that's a beautiful thing, man, to be number one in the city. Definitely.
Yeah, listen, if you ain't first, you're last. Anyway, very quickly, Hugh, just FYI as well. The preseason games, just in, you know, for craps and giggles, home with the Dolphins, then at Buffalo, home with the Bengals. Now, we do know that game is going to be August 28th at 8 o'clock against the Bengals. We know that because that is a national telecast. So CBS is – so the funny part is when we look at this, mm-hmm. that's the only primetime game the Falcons will have this year, is a 8 o'clock preseason game against the Bengals. By the way, that will be Friday, August 28th at 8 p.m., so we know that one. And then they'll finish up their preseason schedule, what seems like they do it just about every year. They'll be in Jacksonville. So Dolphins at Bills, home with the Bengals at Jacksonville for the preseason schedule. Did want to throw all of that in as well with you here. So, all right, Hugh, I want us to – oh, let me mention as well, Hugh, in the division as well. The Buccaneers will go to New Orleans, and I'm surprised that this isn't either Monday night or Sunday night football, but just the Buccaneers, Hugh, are going to head to New Orleans opening weekend. That will be a 4:25 national broadcast on Fox. I'm surprised that's not the Sunday night opener, is Breeze and Brady in the Superdome.
You know what? I'm surprised too, because, you know, me and John Fricke talked about that, and I thought, when you talk about headliners and getting the season started, that to me would have been the game that everybody would want to see. Drew Brees against Tom Brady, two Hall of Fame quarterbacks. Tom Brady on his new team. Nobody ever thought he would leave the Patriots and play somewhere else. I thought that would be the headliner. But NFL said, ha ha, not today. So they didn't do it.
Ha ha. Now, the Buccaneers, by the way, will play the Panthers in week two. By the way, the Panthers, they will open up on the road against the Oakland Raiders. So the Panthers will start at home. That's a 1 o'clock game, I guess, in Las Vegas? Yeah, the new Las Vegas
Raiders.
Stadium.
So yeah.
So they've got the Raiders to open up with. So, all right, Hugh, what I want to do is I want us to take a look across the division, these Falcons matchups within the division. Let's start with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
The Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
Only 3 points scored. And the entire half is an interception for a touchdown. It's Debo Jones.
The Falcons go back to the place where they ended the 2019 season with an overtime win. The Bucs won just 2 of 8 games they played at home last season. And in case there's something you may have missed, the Buccaneers have added Tom Brady and Ron Gronkowski to the league's number 3 scoring offense.
All right, first of all, Hugh, do you like our fancy openings that we have for
Boy,
this team?
Boy, I was like, wow, look at that. You guys, right?
Not us. No. That's not an us. That's the station. It's a group us. It's not like our show. It's a group us.
Oh, wow. Okay. Congratulations.
Yeah. That's pretty dope. Cumulative us. Yes.
That's pretty dope.
We want to make it feel big because we got, you know, we don't have Super Freaky, so we got this instead. But anyway, the Falcons, their two matchups this year, Hugh, will be December 20th when they're home with the Buccaneers, and then the Falcons will end the season in Tampa Bay. Of course, Tom Brady comes over. Rob Gronkowski has been traded for. I think the big thing, Hugh, that's kind of maybe a little bit under the radar is the fact that they were able to keep some of their defensive personnel together as well. I thought that was a big deal. And, of course, I thought that they had a really good draft. I thought adding Wirfs was a really big piece. I thought Vaughn, the running back out of Vanderbilt. I thought two things. They had a sneaky good draft, Hugh, and I thought keeping together some of their defensive personnel was kind of one of those, you know, maybe not talked enough about, because obviously Brady sucked all the air out of the room.
Man, you're talking about adding Ndamukong Suh. You already got Vita Vea there. You got William Golston. JPP playing linebacker there, man. Shaq Barrett. They got a pretty good defense. And if you look at that schedule from last year and a lot of the games that they had, they were in a lot of the games. It was just unfortunate for them that their quarterback was, you know, no disrespect to him, because, I mean, I think he can be a pretty good quarterback. He was going 30 for 30. You know, he's throwing 30 touchdowns, but it's just a good chance he was going to throw an interception as many touchdowns as he threw. Well, he did, 30 for 30. And, you know, you look at that last game of the season against the Atlanta Falcons, and that's how he kind of ended it on the note. He threw a pick. So, yeah, you look at Tom Brady there, and you've heard people say it before. Tom Brady there, you know, that's at least two wins, three wins, you know, because he takes care of the football. They're looking at that schedule. They're looking at their roster. They're looking at that schedule. They're thinking to themselves that they could be a playoff team. And you know, when they get in the playoffs, anything is possible.
Well, Hugh, I'll take it a step further. You don't sign Tom Brady to $60 million and trade for Rob Gronkowski unless you think you're going to the Super Bowl.
I know you don't deal in those semantics. You go straight forward, and you're right. You're right. You don't make those kind of decisions, and you don't think that you don't like your chances to go to the big dance.
I think the three things for me, Hugh. Number one is I still think there are questions on their offensive line. Wirfs is going to be a really nice addition to that, and they really needed help on their offensive line. So taking an offensive lineman in the first round, I think, was a key. I think the second part is they have to show me they can run the football. They have not been a very good running team, and obviously part of that the offensive line, but they've not been real good. They've not gotten a lot of, you know, production out of Barber, Ronald Jones the second. You know, I really thought Jones was going to be a really good player in the NFL. I thought he was really underrated at Southern Cal, was really the guy that made that offense run, but you know, it hasn't really translated at the NFL level. And the third thing is that Mike Evans, I think, has kind of flown under the radar for how good he's been. Mm-hmm. I know, you know, obviously in this part of the country, we probably talk about him a lot, but I'm not sure nationally he gets as much love as what he should. I think with the addition of Tom Brady, a guy, you know, you want to talk about as accurate as it gets, I think those two wide receivers in Godwin and Evans are set to have a monster, and I mean a monster year out of those two guys.
Man, you talk about last year. This is last year's stats. Had 67 receptions, went for over 1,000 yards, 8 TDs. You got to think, with Tom Brady being there, he'll probably be targeted. I would give him, on the low end, probably 80 receptions, maybe 12 TDs, you know, probably 1,500 yards, something like that. So, yeah, he's a big target, too. You're talking about 6'5", 6'5", 231 pounds. That's a big dude. That's a big target. And when you think about it, when Tom Brady has played with receivers of that caliber, Randy Moss, I mean, he's been pretty successful. So, yeah, you're looking at them to be pretty formidable as far as the players that they have on their squad.
What do you think Gronk's got left? What do you think realistically Gronk the player has left?
You know what's funny?
By the way, hold on, Hugh, before you get to that, just make sure we understand, too. He still is the 24/7 champion in WWE. He won the 24/7 championship at WrestleMania, and he is still the champion. So one thing to watch for, Hugh, is that the 24/7 championship has to be defended anytime, anywhere. So if anybody gets Gronk on the ground, if one of the referees comes over and goes 1, 2, 3, that guy could be the next 24/7 WWE champion.
Yeah, but that's, you know, we were talking about that. What about the ref, though? Like, can it be like a makeshift ref? Can I, if I see somebody pin Gronk, can I go over there and do the three count, and he's not the champion
anymore? They got to have the shirt. As long as they got the black and white stripes on.
Are you serious?
As long as you got the black and white stripes on, you're legit.
So you mean to tell me?
No, I'm like, calling it. Hugh, I don't care what the rules say. I'm calling it. If you got the black and white stripes on, you're legit.
Okay, so these are John Chuckery rules. We're not playing by the official 24/7 champion rules. These are John Chuckery rules.
It's the same thing.
Okay, I'm just making sure I'm not disputing. Hey, listen, I'm not disputing your rules, bro. I'm just trying to figure it out before I respond. I just want to have.
I'd have taken a hug from Bailey. That's all I can tell you.
I just want to have as much information as I possibly can before I answer the question. If that's the way you feel about it, Chuck, then okay, fine. I guess there it is. There you have it. But as far as Gronk is concerned, you're talking about 2018, last season, didn't play last year, had 47 receptions. The year before that, he had 69. I mean, he's been banged up a lot. You're talking about the last season, he played 13 games. had a chance to heal up. I know I was hearing, who was it? They were talking about him being a little bit smaller because he was training for wrestling and everything, being a little bit leaner. He's probably going to have to bulk up a little bit. So that's one of the things. I think he can do it. I think he has it in him. But I don't think he's going to be the factor that he once was. Still going to be a good player. Still going to be a threat, especially in that offense. But I don't think that he's going to have to be what he was in New England, if that makes sense to you.
Yep, it does. It does. All right, we'll get to the Saints coming up in the next segment, but let's go ahead and take a look at this matchup against the Carolina Panthers.
The Carolina Panthers.
Ryan hesitates, fires. Catch by Calvin Ridley. Touchdown, Falcons!
The Panthers were just 2-6 at home last year. Christian McCaffrey was third in the league in rushing last year, but the Falcons held him to just 70 yards in their game at Charlotte. These teams have played each other 50 times. The Falcons have won 32 of those meetings.
Hugh, so the Carolina Panthers, of course, obviously moving on from Cam Newton at quarterback. So that obviously the big story that you deal with there. Teddy Bridgewater now takes over. Still one of the most dynamic players in the entire NFL in Christian McCaffrey. They've got a very good wide receiver in DJ Moore out there. They lose Olsen as well at the tight end. They lose, I don't know, maybe one of the one or two or three best linebackers in all of the NFL in Luke Kuechly. It's going to have a different look for Carolina. New coach, new everything out there. This is probably, you want to use rebuild or whatever like that, but, this is not the same Carolina team that we've seen over the last, 4 or 5 years.
Oh, no question about that. You're talking about Teddy Bridgewater and being the new quarterback for the Carolina Panthers. Won 5 games for the Saints last year. And when Drew Brees got hurt and catapulted himself in position to get this job with the Carolina Panthers, I think the biggest thing that's going to hinder them is the fact that, last week, Chuck, they would have had their first workouts with the rookies. And that would have been the first look that the coach actually had with the players and just getting a feel for them, being out on the field and everything. I think that alone and the fact that we don't know when teams are going to be able to actually work these guys out or have OTAs or organized team activities, I think that's what's going to really hinder this football team. Now, I think as the season progresses and they start to, get to know each other and get acclimated with one another, they'll be better. But you know just as well as I do, the first couple weeks in the season, those are crucial, and I think that's going to hinder them a little bit. So I feel like that honestly, this year for the Carolina Panthers fans, Carolina Panther fans might not want to hear this, but this might be a throwaway season for them. It's going to be a little tough for them to get started, especially having a new head coach, new quarterback. So I think it's going to be a little bit like the Keystone Cops early on.
All right, when we come back, we will take a look at the Saints matchup. Also kind of take a look in whole at the first 8 games of the season. We'll focus on that first 8 games of the first half of the season. It is the NFL Schedule Release Show here, Sports Radio 910 The Game. Hugh Douglas, John Chuckery, hanging out with you to the top of the hour. Then Harry Douglas will jump on with me. We'll talk about this next. Sports Radio 910 The Game and on the Radio.com app. Welcome back in, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. It is the NFL Schedule Release Show. John Chuckery and Hugh Douglas hanging out with you. We'll take you to the top of the hour, and then Harry Douglas and myself will carry you for another hour, and then we'll be back to regular broadcasting starting at 10 o'clock. Do follow us on social media, by the way. Check myself out at JMCH316. He's at BigHugh53. The station's at 929 The Game. Jarvis is at JarvisD90. And don't forget your Radio.com app to download it. That way you can make sure you always catch us anywhere that you are on the go. Let's see, Hugh. I wanted to mention something about the Saints schedule. Hugh, I said that they have they have their bye week in week number 6. Mm-hmm. When you look at their first 5 games, Hugh, just to give you an interesting thing, they'll have that opening night against, or the opening afternoon game. They'll be the Fox National game against the Buccaneers. But in that first 5 games, Hugh, not only do they have that, they play twice on Monday and once on Sunday night. They've got the Buccaneers at 4:25. They'll play Monday night the next week, the Sunday night game the following week, then the Lions, and then they have Monday night football again, and then they'll go into their bye week. They got a lot of prime time That's a lot of primetime games in a very short amount of schedule for them.
Yeah, and you know, you're talking about a team where, you know, eventually, you know, with Taysom Hill and Drew Brees and him contemplating retirement and all this other stuff, about what, you know, basically that's going to be the storyline all year long, you know, leading up to you know, what's going to happen. And we're going to get a good firsthand look at what Taysom Hill is going to mean to the New Orleans Saints.
All right, let's preview it. It is the New Orleans Saints.
The New Orleans Saints.
Right over the top. It is caught for the touchdown by Jayden Graham, the first-year man from Yale.
The Superdome is always one of the toughest road venues in the league, but the Falcons did win there in 2019. The Saints were fourth in the league in sacks last year, but got Matt Ryan just once in their home loss to the Falcons. Including last year, the Falcons have lost three of the last five trips to New Orleans.
All right, Hugh, so the Falcons will take on the Saints November 22nd. That'll be a 1 o'clock game in the Superdome. And then just a couple of weeks later, December 6th, 1 o'clock kick home against the Saints. So obviously the Falcons will get the Saints for the first time, Hugh, coming out of a bye week, which, you know, you were talking about divisional games. Always seems like a good idea if you have a couple of weeks to get ready for Drew Brees.
Yeah, man, but still, it doesn't matter because that's a physical confrontation. And we've seen that over the years. Well, since I've been here especially, that when these two teams meet each other, like, it's one of those things where you just throw the record out the window because you just never know. You know, you're going into that game last year looking at what the Falcons looked like and what they played like. Two different football teams when they went to the Saints. The Saints were beleaguered when the Falcons came in, so much so that during the course of the game, when they couldn't score, they were just trying to keep Drew Brees' streak alive, and it was just phenomenal the way that they played. That was, you know, a lot of people look at that and feel like that was where the Falcons turned the corner. So yeah, that's gonna be one of those games that, man, you could just toss that up in there and just say that's almost a pick 'em.
You know, Hugh, I like to have this argument with people because I know a lot of people automatically go to Kyle Shanahan, but I've always said, I think Sean Payton is the best play caller in the NFL. I think he is the best offensive play caller that there is. And I think the way that he has used Taysom Hill, you brought his name up. I think that's, you know, look, if you'd have told me that, who saw Teddy Bridgewater going on the run that he did last year to help that team win the games that he did last year? And I think the way he uses Taysom Hill, and he's done this over the years. I mean, you know, Marquise Colston was, what, like a seventh-round draft pick? I mean, he's always been, I think, a master at utilizing his personnel. I mean, is he the best? I mean, is he the best offensive mind in the NFL for you, or, you know, Shanahan or somebody else ahead of him?
Oh, he's one of them. But let me tell you the thing for me when it comes to offensive-minded coaches. Offensive-minded coaches, to me, do well when they know their personnel and they put their personnel in positions to be successful all the time. You know, you talk about Teddy Bridgewater, perfect example of that. You know, you can say Kyle Shanahan, Coach Shanahan, he does a great job, but I think at times his ego kind of gets in the way. Two examples of that, one that we won't mention, and the second one is with Jimmy Garoppolo in the Super Bowl. You know, you got the Kansas City Chiefs on the ropes, so much so that I remember watching that game and coming out of the half and thinking, like, man, what is Coach Reed going to do? How is he going to screw this one up? And you just decide that you want to make Jimmy Garoppolo a passing quarterback and throw the ball about 100 times. Like, that to me was ridiculous. Good offensive-minded coaches, they don't do that. They put their quarterbacks and their players in position to be successful, and they keep that mantra going.
You know, Hugh, you look at their draft, some questions about, you know, why they drafted Cesar Ruiz when it looked like they had center, you know, pretty well kind of locked up, but certainly – you know, he's a prospect offensive lineman. Zach Bond is a guy who's very interesting, the linebacker out of Wisconsin. Some people wondered about whether or not he might be a fit here in Atlanta as well. You know, we always kind of, it seems like with the Saints draft, we always kind of scratch our head a little bit and say, okay, why did they take this guy or that guy? But, you know, they're another one of those teams who, to me, when you think you're about to, you know, be in the Super Bowl, you don't worry too much about the long term. You try to plug guys who can help you win now. I mean, is that a fair assessment about how sometimes you draft when you think you're about to be, you know, one of the best teams in the NFL?
Yeah, I think so. And I think that a lot of times that we as fans, you know, we do our little charts and we listen to what the Mel Kuypers of the world say and people like that. And we get like kind of programmed on what we feel like the team needs by going and looking at, you know, the certain draft boards and everything, talking about needs and all this other stuff. The team might look at it totally different. And they're looking at matchups. They're looking at different individuals that are going to match up well in the division to help them get out of the division. And once they get out of the division, then you worry about everybody else. But I think your main concern is this, is getting out of the division. You look, like just for an example, you look at all the receivers, all the good receivers that we have in the NFC South. What did the Falcons go out and do? They went out and got some big corners. Because when you talk about Mike Evans, 6'4", you talk about Michael Thomas, Julio Jones, those are some tall receivers. So you need some bigger corners that are going to match up well with them. So I think that's why you go out, and you talk about linebackers and stuff like when you're talking about the Saints. You go out and you get guys that can run and be those versatile individuals in this division so that you can get out of the division. And then after that, you know, when you go through this murderer's row, it's all up in the air when you get out of that, and you can play with anybody. If you get out of this and you get out of it unscathed, you can play with anybody.
All right, Hugh, so let's take a look at the first half of the schedule. Let's do the first eight games. That would start with Seattle, Cowboys, Bears, Packers, and then Panthers, Vikings, Lions, Panthers again. So they get the Panthers twice in the month of October. Certainly, as I see it, the second quarter of the season looks drastically better than the first quarter of the season. What's realistic in those first eight games for the Falcons record-wise?
Record-wise, realistically? We're talking about how many games? Nine games? One, two, three,
eight games. Do the
nine.
First eight.
Well, we going before the bye. Okay,
yes.
You just want
take,
the first
take
eight.
Take the Broncos out of it. Let's go. Let's just do the first eight games of the year, the first two quarters of the season. Record-wise, when you look at that, Seahawks, Cowboys, Bears, Packers, then Panthers twice, Vikings and Lions, 6-2, 5-3. Can they do 6-2 out of that?
I would say 6-2. I go 6-2 because I'm honestly thinking 2-2 at the beginning of the season. Potentially 3-1. You know, because I don't know what the Cowboys are going to be. You know, Dak Prescott's probably going to be in a little bit of pressure. You know, the Bears defense, they still pretty good. Packers defense played well last year too. Seahawks, I'm gonna say 2-2 because the Seahawks were a pretty tough team. I'm going to say 2-2. The second half, I think you get the Panthers in the first one. You got to get some redemption with the Minnesota Vikings. Detroit Lions, 6-2, yeah.
I think, Hugh, you know, when you look at that second quarter, twice with the Panthers, at Vikings and Lions, they really have to clean up. If they're not at least 3-1 in that quarter of the season.
Yeah, that's what I'm looking at. Yeah.
That's the part of the year that if you're not 3-1 against some of the bad teams, because that to me is the thing where that's the thing that Tom Brady's not going to do is slip up against some of those bad teams that he's going to come up against. He's not going to make those. He's not going to give opportunities to the bad teams. And I think that's the difference is you got to win the games you're supposed to win. And the Falcons certainly are better and more talented than Carolina or the Detroit Lions. Hell, they're every bit as talented, if not more, than the Vikings are as well. That second quarter, to me, is the real key. If they're 2-2 or something in that second quarter, I think that's a failure.
Yeah, and you talk about the Vikings beat you up last year. They lined up and they kind of punched you in the mouth. So that they definitely – you got to get them some get back. Carolina Panthers, no disrespect to the Panther fans that are listening to the show, but y'all don't have enough time to prepare. You shouldn't lose to a rookie head coach. That's my opinion on that, especially when you talk about the talent that they've lost and the talent that we got. You shouldn't lose to them. You know, the one that you kind of look at, Minnesota Vikings, now that might be the one that might get you because they did kind of bully you. They played bully ball with you last year. Detroit Lions, it's Detroit. So, yeah, you're definitely right. That second half of season 4-1 at a minimum.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, they need to be at least 3-1 in that four-game stretch because I think going into the Broncos game before you get in the bye week, I mean, I think that stretch is going to be really important. I do think we'll learn a lot about the Falcons, though, in the first quarter of the season, and I say that because you know, I think every team will be at a disadvantage. I don't know how we're going to end up with, training camp and things like that. I don't know how that's all going to roll. I know the Falcons are doing, I don't know if you know, but we call it here, Hugh, we call it KAOTAs. If you're not familiar with what that is, that would be the kick-ass
OTAs. Oh, yeah,
OTAs,
no, I've heard it. Yeah, I've heard you say that. Yeah, I've heard that.
So we don't do OTAs. We do KAOTAs, so we do kick-ass OTAs. But I think every team is going to have some disadvantages because rookies are going to have to adjust. So that first quarter of the season, I think teams that can find a way to shake out with a good record in that first four games, I think really set themselves up for good things later in the year.
Yeah, I mean, because you're talking about that the few weeks of the season, John Chuckery, we're not going to have any OTAs, even though, you know, the KAOTAs, they're virtual.
Yes.
So that's a little different. That's a little different. Even though, you know, you're going to be up to speed as far as your learning is concerned, as far as your book studies are concerned, you got to get your butt out there on the field and run around. I think that with that being said, that will probably be a huge advantage for Coach Quinn and his squad, but you still got to go out there. You got to, what's it called, applied sciences or whatever you want to call it, applied science. So you got to still go out there and apply your craft. So I think with that being said, that with Coach Quinn still being intact as the head coach and guys kind of knowing the routine, that they'll be ahead of the game. I think that with Tom Brady coming to Tampa Bay, there's going to be a little bit of a learning curve there, but it's not going to be as great as it's going to be for the Carolina Panthers. I don't think that's going to be the case. I think the Carolina Panthers, when you talk about teams in the division, they're the ones that are behind the eight ball the most. You know, you talk about all the talent they've amassed, the coach Matt Rhule has gotten there and everything. He hasn't seen his players yet, so I think that's going to be an issue for them. So you got to take advantage of that early on.
All right, it'll start up at 5 o'clock in the morning for him, Hugh Douglas and John Freaky. Two things that I know they'll have for sure tomorrow is they'll break down the schedule, and there won't be any hugs, Hugh. I'm not hugging anybody. We don't hug. I don't do anything like that. So that's the only two things I can guarantee for sure. 5 to 10 a.m., Hugh Douglas, John Freaky. It is the morning show. Catch it tomorrow morning. Hugh Douglas, thanks so much, buddy, for being a part of this tonight, and hopefully we'll get a chance to chat with you here soon.
Anytime, man. Anytime for you.
We'll be back coming up at the top of the next hour. Harry Douglas and myself will continue the schedule breakdown. We'll go back through the NFC South and take a look at the second half as well. It's all coming up next. It is our NFL schedule release show. John Chuck, we're here with you. About to be joined by Harry Douglas at the top of the hour. Sports Radio 929 The Game and on the Radio.com app.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.